Valentine's Day is coming up, and what a wonderful time to think about relationships and the love that we've been given. You know, there's a powerful story in Scripture. Of course, Scripture is filled with powerful stories, but I'm thinking about specifically one night, Jesus is gathered with the disciples in a very dimly lit room. It's a very solemn night. There's a silence in the room, and the disciples sense that there's something different going on. They had been with Jesus on many other occasions, but the mood is different on this one occasion. While they've been gathered, there's been a meal, and that seemed like there was a little bit of tension in the room, and then Judas gets up and leaves, and no one is exactly sure why. They don't know what is happening, but they can tell the mood is different. Jesus seems different than he has before. He has a seriousness to him that the disciples all sense. And then with all of that in the room, the disciples quiet down as Jesus begins to talk. And the Scripture records some of the things that he says in that moment. We know from John 13 that one of the things he said gave a little bit of surprise to the disciples, because he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment, a brand new thing that I want you to know. And here's what Jesus said. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. It's not a new commandment to love, but it would be a new commandment in that they were being commanded to love as Jesus was loving them and would love them. He said, by this will all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. There were many rabbis in Jesus' day who would teach, and they had followers, they had disciples. And the goal of every disciple was to become like their rabbi. And so, depending upon the rabbi, there would be certain things that they wanted to pass on to their disciples. And some would watch their rabbi and say, I want to have his teaching style. I want to have his confidence. I want to walk like he walks. I want to have the respect like he has. But Jesus said to his own disciples, look, the thing I want you to be known for, yes, that you walk in truth. Yes, that you know my commandments. But here's the thing. I want you most of all to be known by the love that you have for one another as disciples. Wow, what a powerful statement Jesus made to them, and he makes to us, that the primary identifying factor is the way we love one another as disciples within the body of who we are, the church. Jesus was elevating relational qualities in that moment. He was saying, the way people are going to know that there's a vertical is in your horizontal. And I want it to be known that way. I don't want you to just be known because you're pious and religious and you're knowledgeable of the Scriptures and you attend services. Those are all great, that you can pray, that you give, and that you sacrifice. That's awesome. But the vertical, the real proof, Jesus said, and what he wants is for us to be known for this and this. And the proof of this shows up in this. I don't know about you, but I've known some people who seem to have a lot going on this way, at least. That's what they said, but they didn't have much going on this way, right? And when it's not going on this way, it seems to just discredit all of this. You just say, I'm out on that. Because if this, as Caleb said, doesn't mirror this, and this doesn't mirror this, it just discredits the whole thing. The vertical and the horizontal are important. Now, it begins with allegiance to Jesus. And we've learned some powerful lessons over the past weeks. I just want to hit them real quick here this morning, just some quick points that are going to serve to frame everything we're going to talk about today. We've learned that allegiance means that we bow to Jesus as the commander of our life. He is the one who gets to give the orders. He is the one that we look to for direction. We don't make our plans and ask God to bless them. We go to God and say, what are your plans? I'll do that, right? We've also learned that allegiance learns the regimen of Jesus first. We followed Joshua as he circled the city of Jericho 6 days, following just what the commander of the Lord's army told him to do. And he learned the regimen of every day, what Jesus says goes first, the first part of my day, the first part of my thoughts, the worship of my God, the sacrifice of my Lord, all goes first. We've learned that. We've also learned that in allegiance, partial obedience is full defiance. To take a part of what Jesus says and say, I'm not gonna do that. I'll do this, but not that. We might as well just be giving full defiance to everything that Jesus is about. We don't get to pick and choose. We've also learned that allegiance knows that there's gonna be a cost in following him, in following our commander. We don't use the filter of, let's see, is this gonna be comfortable, easy, profitable, and good for my reputation? No, we cast all that out. Allegiance to Jesus says, whatever the cost, I'm willing. If it ends up being a sacrifice for me, I'll do it because you are my commander. And so Jesus was telling his disciples that if you're really gonna be abandoned to me and in full allegiance to me as my disciples, then what I want is to ask you to make sure that your horizontal shows up just like the vertical shows up in your life. Our message today is this: vertical allegiance blesses horizontal relationships. It's true. This is the pattern that God has. And we're gonna talk today about how do we apply all of this in relationships, allegiance to the Lord in relationships. How do we put him first there? Especially around people that don't maybe know the Lord, or maybe there's been some conflict with. Maybe that things are not in a great place for us. How do we do that? And the thing is, I think we have to all admit up front, I think this would be easy for all of us, is that no one is inherently great at relationships. Can we all just admit that this morning, right? You're not the greatest loser in the room. Well, you might be. I think we all are. But I think no one would say, I have relationships, horizontal relationship nailed. I'm perfect at all of that. No, you're not born that way. You don't learn that way. It's not natural to us. What's natural to us is to really mess up relationships, is to be selfish, to be focused on us and what other people ought to be doing for us and then getting upset with them. That's what we all do very well. Hello? Yeah, and we end up in conflict and we end up in some bad places. And that's what Jesus came to do. He talked about faith that actually transformed how we relate, so that you and I, as Jesus followers, we actually become good at it. I mean, we actually become great at it. That's what we're called to. We're called to be ones who, above all people on the planet, know how to do this. We know how to serve and sacrifice, and we know how to be patient and to be kind. We know how to guard our words and use our words to build up other people. We know how to reconcile. Hello? We know how to forgive, and that is what we all ought to be good at. In fact, great at, as Jesus followers. But I think we all begin this morning with the realization of, hey, I'm not quite there yet. It's okay. We're gonna get there. And it all begins in a place that Jesus is gonna drive us to. Turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, of course, is near the end of Matthew's gospel. And he is writing about the last events toward the end of Jesus' life. And in this one occasion, Jesus is in a meeting, a gathering with the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. And here's the deal. They really excelled in this, but they were terrible at this. In fact, they were so terrible that Jesus had some really hard things to say to them. In fact, he would say about some of them that they were actually of their father, the devil. Like, I know you got a lot of outward this going on, but you don't have anything going on in here. He would call them whitewashed tombs, places of death that were painted over to look nice, but inside smelled like the devil. They were terrible at this, and Jesus called them out on it. And so they're in this gathering, and they're together, and Jesus is talking with them, and they're talking with him. And these guys, they didn't really like Jesus because he was really good at seeing through to the heart of the matter and calling them out on this. And in this one occasion, they are doing what they normally do, trying to trip Jesus up. They're trying to find some way to discredit him because they don't like the popularity he's got. They don't like what he has to say. So in Matthew 22, we begin in verse 35. We're kind of picking up in the middle of a gathering here. But one of them is going to begin talking, and it's going to use a word to describe him that's going to trip us up. It's the word lawyer. Now that's going to immediately paint a whole picture in your mind of what this guy is like. And he's not that at all, okay? He's not like a lawyer like we think of today. A lawyer, when it describes in the New Testament, was a man who knew the laws of God, okay? Now, not to just talk negatively about all lawyers, but this guy is the lawyer of lawyers. He knows a whole lot about God's law, but he is ruthless and mean in his heart. And this guy, he's the guy you don't ever want to get in a debate with, an argument with. He's going to win every time. He's going to just keep going until he wins. He's going to humiliate you. And this is what he is attempting to do to Jesus. We start in verse 35, I believe it is. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Now you got to know, again, this is not a genuine, humble, sincere man wanting to really understand the heart of Jesus. No, it says he's testing him. He's looking to set him up. He's looking to discredit him. So Jesus responds, verse 37, 38, it says that Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And I'm sure all the Pharisees and the lawyers said, "Amen, yes, yes." There would have been some agreement with that. They would have known the 613 laws that they followed. They would have known the traditions that have been passed down. They would have known all the very minute details that needed to be followed. And they would have understood heart and soul and with all your mind. They would have understood that that Jesus was talking about with your full emotions, that he was talking about with your full will, and he was talking about with all your intellect and all your energy, loving the Lord. But Jesus wasn't finished. It says, the Bible says that Jesus continued, said, "Oh, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, this would have had to sting a little bit because it's one thing to talk about the vertical, but you get into the horizontal and all of a sudden it causes everybody to get just a little bit awkward and uncomfortable. And Jesus just goes straight there forward. The guy just asked for what's the great, single greatest commandment. And Jesus said, "I've got one, you'll know it, but I'm gonna put a second one out there because it's like it and you're gonna need to know this one too." And Jesus said, "On these two, hang all the law and all the prophets." Every law you could come up with, if you will keep these two commands right here, you will satisfy all of the law. You want to know not to murder anyone? Well, then love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and you won't murder anybody. That's the way it works. Pick out any law. They all hang on these two. And so what we get here is an order that Jesus gives. And the order is important, especially in the context of what we've been talking about, allegiance to the Lord. So here we go. The first and greatest command is your vertical relationship with Jesus. That's the most important thing. Even when it comes to your relationships, loving Jesus is the most important thing. Loving him with the first of all that you have and all that you have. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, not a part of it. if you're part-time on the deal, if you've compartmentalized faith outside somewhere of the rest of your life, I already know what's going on with your life. Your relationships are terrible. They're broken. And you keep wondering why, and Jesus keeps driving you back to the first and greatest command is your vertical relationship with Jesus. You're not gonna have any good horizontal until you are established in the vertical. Amen? Now this is one of those messages that just fits all about who we are as a church. I mean, it's got our name in it even, right? But it's true, this is what Jesus defines. Because Jesus says, here's the first, then I'm gonna give you the second, the order. It's not a long number count. Surely we can keep up with this. It's one and two, right? We can do this. And then he says, the second is to love horizontally as though they were you. If you're gonna love other people, love them like you love yourself, because everybody loves himself. You know to take care of yourself. You do, you watch out for yourself. You know what you like, what you want. And in the same way, you ought to be loving other people as though they were you. As though you know what they need and you're willing to do whatever it is, because you will sacrifice for yourself. If you wake up in the middle of the night, you remember there's a cold piece of pizza in that refrigerator and you get a little hungry, you will get up out of that bed and walk all the way in there and grab that pizza and eat it and then go back to bed. Hey, you'll do that. Because that's what you want. And it ought to be that if someone else were lying next to you in the bed, a spouse, and they said, I sure would like some cold pizza, that you wouldn't say, well, go get it yourself then. Say, you want me to get that for you? See, that's not natural for me, hello? That's just not natural. That's not my first thought. But Jesus is saying, this is the way it works. And this is what I actually want for you as my disciples. I want you to have such a love horizontally that flows from your vertical that you love other people as though they were you. So let's put some of this together. Three major points this morning that will help us know, how do we do this? How do we live in such a way that my horizontal is blessed? Because we all want that. Nobody wants your relationships to just struggle and suffer and be terrible. And Jesus doesn't want that either. So here we go. The first is this. When your vertical love is first, here's what will happen. God will open the windows of heaven for your heart. Remember last week we talked about the Malachi passage? It said if we will bring him the first fruits, that he will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that we won't even be able to receive it. That's not just a principle or a truth about giving. That's a truth for life. You want to see God open the windows on your relationships? Then you learn to give him and look to him first. So let's put it on the board in some ways I think we can all understand here. I think this is something we would say we all want. I want to be known. I want to know that someone knows me. They know my likes, my dislikes. They want to know what I'm good at. Or I want them to know what I'm good at, even what I'm not good at. You do too. You want to be known. But in that, you also want to be loved. You don't want to be known and judged. You want to be known and loved. You want to be appreciated. You want to be admired. You want to be accepted. You want to fit into a group somewhere. You want to know that even in your uniquenesses, you fit, you belong. Someone accepts you. You want to know that you are valued. That someone says, man, I really like them. They are so, fill in the blank, that I like them being around. I value them, their personality, their gifts, their interest. We all want someone that we have a sense of security with as well. Man, we could go on with that list of all the things that we long for. those are not a bad thing. Those are a good thing because you were made with that. You were made with a desire for these things. But the only one who can truly give you all those things is Jesus himself. There are people in our life who do some of this for us, but only Jesus can meet the deeper need inside, because people, I'll let you know a secret, people will fail you at this. Hello? Have you ever looked for some of this in some people around you and they didn't do it very well? That's right. They were never meant to be the ones who gave this to you. Only Jesus can do that for you. And he came in flesh and blood so that we might know that. Jesus tabernacled among us, the Bible says, so that we might see the glory of the Father, so that we might know what he is like and know what it's like to be known, loved, accepted, valued, secure, encouraged, forgiven, redeemed, hopeful. We could just go on and on and on. Those are all met for us in Jesus. But here's what happens sometimes. Instead of looking to the Lord for all of that, this is what your heart was actually made for. How about that? A nice Valentine read for us today. This is what you and I were made for, to know this in Jesus. You and I were meant to get that from him and to live in that. But when you don't lean into that as your first, when your vertical is not your priority, when it's really a part-time thing, when it's really just a compartmentalized piece of your life, then what happens is you and I start looking outwardly to other people to try to meet those needs. And we go real big on the horizontal instead of going real big on the vertical. And we start looking at people around us to give us what we want and what we think we need. And what happens is, sadly, we start using God to get what we want from other people. We start praying, God, when are you gonna fix them? When are you gonna change them so that they will give me what I need? Hello? Are we getting close to home here this morning? We start using God, and then things don't work out like we thought they were going to. That person ends up not fulfilling all of this in us. And what ends up is our heart gets broken in that moment. And then we get angry. A whole path starts for us where we start off, we become very demanding of other people. Well, you're supposed to do this for me. You better do this for me. I'm gonna get on to you if you don't provide this for me. We start becoming very demanding. We can actually become very controlling as well. You can be around people and you become the one who's trying to control situations so it can turn out just like you want it. And when that doesn't happen, then what do? We get angry. You're not doing all of this for me. You're not providing this for me. So we start demanding it. You better. How come you're not? And then we start controlling. We get really angry when they are not that for us. Then we get desperate. And then we get into all kind of conflict. Then we get into all kind of problems. Then relationships start breaking. And then when there's brokenness, then our heart is really empty. And there's nothing left. And so what do? We use God and we come to him with what is left over. God, I'm coming to you with my broken heart. There's nothing wrong with coming to God with a broken heart, by the way. But if that's all you ever bring him, and instead of bringing him the first fruit, you brought him the last fruit, it's all stinky and molded and bruised. How how can you expect God to move when all you're bringing him is the broken leftovers instead of the first fruits? You're giving him just a tiny portion and trying to make the horizontal the way you get this in your life instead of looking to the vertical for how you get this in your life. Can anybody relate this morning? I sure can. And it's not a good path. You end up with all kind of conflict, frustration. You end up frustrated. I end up frustrated if I do this. And the people around me end up frustrated if I'm doing this. All honesty, if I look to my wife, Heather, to do all of this for me and more, nothing on Heather, but she's not made to provide all of this at the depth that I need it. So I'm going to be frustrated. And guess what she's going to be? Frustrated. Two frustrated people. Because I'm choosing to try to find here what I can only really get here. Which brings us to our second point today. When your vertical love is first, God will open the windows of heaven on your horizontal relationships. He will start to do more than you could imagine, more than you could dream, more than you could ever on your best day with your best plans and your best ideas. He can bring it to pass. And it's one of those areas of life that just reveals how much we really try to make it all happen on our own. How much we try to control it, manipulate it, and force it all to happen, and it doesn't. But you see, the real design that God wants for us, the very thing that even Jesus talked about with his disciples, is what I want you to do is have the focus on loving me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The vertical has to be first. And if you will do that, you will see transformation happen in your life. If you will love the Lord, if you will make it your goal to love him first, love him with all, then it will begin to transform your horizontal relationships. So you love him first and with all. And when you do, you will begin to see a transformation begin to happen here in the horizontal relationships of your life. So let's spell this out. How do you do that exactly? Well, the first thing you do, and man, I don't have enough space for my board, so write what I say, even though you don't see it on the board yet, okay? Let's do this. If I'm going to give the Lord my allegiance first, then what I have to do is give him my expectations. Anybody have any expectations in relationships? All of us. Jerry and I have talked about this a lot lately. We all do. We naturally think, I expect certain people to treat me in certain ways and get a certain benefit out of that relationship. I expect them to say certain things, do certain things, be certain places at certain times in certain ways. If you want to see health in your relationships, what you do is you start by saying, God, I'm going to put all my expectations in you. I will love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love the fact that Jesus didn't say, here's the first and great commandment. Love the Lord as you love yourself and love your neighbor with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not what he said. Love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, everything. Give him all your expectations. expectations, all the things that you long for, all the things that you want, all the things that you expect, all the things that you need in your heart, every bit of this and so much more. Give that to the Lord. God, I find my expectation in you. My expectation to be accepted, I give that to you. My expectation to be honored and valued, I give that to you. That's what Jesus did. That's what it gave him the power to lay down his life. If he hadn't been able to do that, Jesus would have been the most whiny, wandering mess that had ever walked the planet. Because he was never accepted by everybody. He was not valued by everybody. But you don't find Jesus wandering and whining. You find him consistently giving himself away because his expectation was in the Lord. You also choose to love the Lord with all your thoughts. God, you established my thoughts about my relationships even. How do you want me to think? And that is what I will think. How do you want me to think about my wife? How do you want me to think about my children? How do you want me to think about my grandchildren? How do you want me to think about my neighbors? How do you want me to think about those who are my enemy? How do you want me to think about those who are walking opposed to you? I give you my thoughts, Lord. You establish my thoughts. But it also means letting him have the first of our words, even in our relationships. You don't just get to say whatever you want in relationship. You don't get to just blow up on people and say, what? I was just trying to be honest. No, what you're being is careless and thoughtless. You don't get to do that. It's not how it works. So you say, Lord, the first of my words, they're yours. You choose. If you do that, watch the windows of heaven open in your relationships. Don't let words about the Lord be the last word you ever say. Let them be the first word you say. Let him be the first part. Bring him into the conversation. Even your plans about your relationship. God gets to choose that, not you. Ask him, Lord, what is your plan for this relationship? What do you want to see happen next? What is your plan for reconciliation here? What is your plan for deepening this relationship? What is your plan for restoring what's been broken? Lord, you get to have all of that. And I'm going to give the first part of my emotions even to the Lord. Lord, I give all of that to you. And I want to feel what you want me to feel. We don't get to just emote and say, well, that's just how I feel. There's a place and a time for that. But you don't get to just destroy people with your broken emotions without putting that in check. You're just destroying people and your own heart. God, you direct my emotions. They are yours first. You gave me them. So I will honor you with them. And then finally, even my responses in my relationships. Lord, how do you want me to respond? One of the things that Heather and I have learned over the years is to, when there is a disagreement, conflict, debate, is to slow it down. Don't just start flying off the cuff, just whatever you want to say in the moment, because that's where destruction starts happening. Slow it down. Pray. Give the Lord the first part. Let him choose your responses. If you will honor him with the first part, if you will give him all of this, as the first. God, you plan my day, you plan my week, you plan my interactions, you lead, you're first, you're my all, you're my first. This first, watch God open the windows of heaven on your relationships. Watch reconciliation happen that you thought could never happen. Watch restoration begin to come about that you thought could never happen. Watch things come about that you never even dreamed would happen because you chose to honor the Lord with the first part. Our third point today is this. When your vertical love for the Lord is first, God will open the windows of heaven on others through you. You will begin to see things happen in relationships, in other people, not just in the relationship itself, but you will begin to see Jesus work through you to other people. And you will start to see them changing. Because what will be happening in that moment is that they will be seeing in the horizontal your love in the vertical. And then you will have fulfilled what Jesus said. I want you to be my disciples so that the way you are known is by the way you love one another. Such an important truth for us. At its core, it's very simple. Love the Lord first and with all. But in application, it can be one of the most challenging things you and I will ever do. Amen? To choose to love the Lord first. I give you the first part, Lord. But we are confident in God's word that if we will, he will open up the windows of heaven and you will see things happen in your marriage that you thought never could. You'll see things happen in family that you were afraid to even dream about. You'll begin to see God work beyond you if he is the first in the relationship. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Let's work through this in prayer because I know this is very real. It's very relevant. It can be very difficult. So let's begin today with this. Do you need to tell the Lord, Lord, I have been looking to other people instead of you for all the things that I need? Can you just admit that to him? Can you admit that it's only led to frustration and brokenness? Can you say, Lord, I'm coming back to put you first in my relationships. I want you to have the first place of my expectations and my thoughts, my words, my responses. And I'm choosing to set that other person or people free. The ones that I thought were my source of life, the ones that I looked to as though they were you, I set them free today. And Lord, I will choose to make you first. And I'm confident by doing that, you will bless. You said you'd open the windows of heaven. Father, thank you for the picture, the reality of your son Jesus, who showed us what this life is like, who loved you. And he showed it. He demonstrated it by laying down his life for us. May we have that same kind of love. May we be those who love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Nothing held back, nothing in reserve, nothing kept for ourselves, but loving you, finding in you our everything. Not looking to the people around us, not looking to our spouse, spouse, not looking to our children to somehow affirm what's been missing in us and somehow build up what's been broken, not looking to people around us to try to make up where we're missing something inside. Lord, we put all that aside today. Forgive us for doing that. Forgiving us for causing more breaking. Forgive us for causing more problems. Forgive us for frustrating the people around us. Ooh, Lord, we come back to you. You're the only one who can meet our deepest needs. So we are here, Lord, to love you with all that we are. Every part of our heart, every part of our soul, every part of our mind, and even every part of our strength. And Lord, we will choose to keep you in that first place. And then we will love others out of that, out of the overflow of that. And when we get it wrong and we mess up, we'll come back to you and hear your love again, hear your forgiveness again, hear your acceptance again, and we'll be filled up and we'll keep on loving. For then we'll do just exactly what you've called us to do, to be known by how we love one another. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, our great commander and king. It's in your name we pray. Amen.